Mr. Trump's tax cut is only 9 months old, so it is too early to say it is paying for itself. But already, well over half the projected cost has evaporated because of higher growth. So writes economist Stephen Moore. He's a contributor to the Washington Times. He's a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's with freedomworks.org. His latest book is called Trumponomics, and Steve Moore joins us right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Steve, it's great to have you back on the program.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi. So let's talk about Trumponomics. And I guess the projected or the tax cuts did better than even projected, correct?
Yeah, that's true. I ran into the president a few weeks ago, and I said to him, Mr. President, this stuff is just working better than when we put it together. I worked with Larry Kudlow, you know, a senior economic analyst for Trump during the campaign, and we helped devise the tax cut and so on. And, you know, Trump just smiled and said, you ain't seen nothing yet. But, you know, the growth rates have been much higher than even we expected. We thought we could get to 3-4% growth. Remember, it was 1.6% growth in Obama's last year in office. So the growth was extremely weak. And the latest forecast, well, we have 4.2% growth, Jerry, in the second quarter, 4.2, which is phenomenal. We're going to get, looks like, about 4% for the third quarter. The third quarter ended on September 30th. Those are phenomenal numbers. They are well more than twice as fast as the economy was growing under Obama. And because we're getting more people working, more investment here, more businesses started, factories coming back to the United States, less people on welfare, less people collecting unemployment benefits, we estimate that there will be this is actually Congressional Budget Office estimates over the next decade, $6 trillion more GDP and output created than they were estimating before we passed the tax cut. That's an enormous amount, Jerry. I mean, that's the entire annual output of Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois combined.
Wow. Now, what happens if the other side captures, you know, key places during the midterms? Key positions.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know that it's going to be a disaster because, frankly, you know, all these laws have already passed. You know, the tax cut's in place. A lot of Democrats are running against the tax cut, which seems absurd to me. And why would you go? It would be one thing if the policy weren't working, but obviously it is working based on the, you know, enormous number of jobs we're creating and the high growth and you know, higher wages and bonuses and benefits that are being paid to workers. So, you know, yeah, that would put it in jeopardy a little bit, but I still think this is one of these kind of powerful booms, Jerry, that you just can't hold back.
All right. Now, I've heard about discussions about the possibility of tax cuts 2.0. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing we need to do and the main feature of that tax cut 2.0, which actually passed the House, I believe, a week ago, is to just make these tax cuts permanent. As I just said, you know, it's working. You know, if something's working, you stick with it. You don't change. And so this would make those tax cuts permanent. You know, some of the tax cuts had to expire in 2024, especially some of those tax cuts for middle-class workers. And, you know, I would see no need to want to raise taxes on middle-class, you know, people. So we hope to make this a permanent feature of the tax code, and that would be, I think, very beneficial in terms of businesses planning for the future.
Nancy Pelosi and critics like that say the tax cuts are not working. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't know what country she's living in. I mean, the amazing fact is we have seen, you know, this dramatic speed up in growth. And incidentally, it's very interesting to me that, you know, all of these economists that Nancy Pelosi, you know, listens to, you know, people like, you know, Paul Krugman and Larry Summers, who was the chief economist for Obama, and many of the Harvard economists and Yale economists say, it's impossible. Trump can never get us to 4% growth. In fact, we think if he's elected president, he's going to cause a second Great Depression. The stock market is going to crash. And, of course, exactly the opposite has happened. If you look at the stock market, Jerry, it's up almost 50% since Trump was elected. I mean, that's $8 to $9 trillion in increased wealth of American households, and not all that money went to the rich. I mean, anybody who has a 401k plan, anyone who has a retirement plan, anyone who owns and trades stocks individually, you know, you got to be a pretty bad investor if you're not making money when the stock market is up 50%.
All right. Now, recently you wrote in the Washington Times a piece, and it's called A $1 Trillion Blunder. Tell us about that.
Well, just that the, you know, the Congressional Budget Office originally said that the economy would be much smaller than it now thinks it will. And so that means that the, you know, the $6 trillion increase in growth based on the growth that we've already had just, you know, in the last year means that, you know, every future year will have growth. That's the power of compounding interest. And so you get $6 trillion more GDP, and the federal government, you know, collects about 18% of taxes, that percent of GDP. So that's another $1 trillion of tax revenue. So, you know, by my calculations, based on CBO, we think that you're going to see maybe possibly 2/3 of the tax cut already paid for through the higher economic growth that we're experiencing now.
So in other words, the bad news, you know, the blunder that you're referring to turns out to be, you know, hey, the good news is the bad news is wrong. We're doing better than we anticipated.
Yeah, more Americans know that, by the way, Jerry. I mean, you know, when I'm on CNN or some of these other, you know, shows and I'm debating liberals and they say it's not working, I'm like, look, I mean, just ask the American people. I mean, the month before the election, only about 3 out of 10 Americans said the American economy was going in the right direction. 3 out of 10. You know what that number is today?
No.
7 out of 10. You know, that's pretty amazing. From in 18 months to go from 3 out of 10 feeling good about the economy to 7 out of 10. And by the way, I think that number would be higher, except a lot of people just don't like Trump, right? And so they're not going to admit that the economy is doing well. So, you know, these are very positive numbers. Americans can feel it in the pocketbook. They feel much less financial stress because of, you know, the more money they have, their 401k and retirement plans. And, you know, businesses are starting to have to pay workers more. There's more overtime, you know, because you just can't find workers out there. I talk to employers, Jerry, around the country. They say, yeah, there's a big problem in the American economy today. What are you going to do about this? And I say, what's that? I said, we can't find workers.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I mean, I remember there was a time when you would not often see help wanted signs. Now you tend to see them all
over
the place. Yeah,
everywhere. You know, I've been, you know, this past summer I was everywhere from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine, and, you know, everywhere in between, from Denver, Colorado to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to, you know, even places like Cleveland and Detroit and San Francisco and Nashville. Everywhere I go, Jerry, you know, all I see is cranes, you know, in the skyline of new buildings going up, new factories, new warehouses, new, you know, residential homes, new apartment buildings. I mean, we're in the biggest construction boom today in American history. Did you know that?
No, I didn't realize that, no. But, you know, it's funny, though, Steve, remember the old phrase during the Clinton campaign? So this goes back to the 1990s, 1992, actually. It's the economy, stupid. And yet I saw somewhere where somebody was saying, well, now the economy doesn't matter. It's other issues at stake, and we got to get rid of Trump. And by the way, if the midterms go badly for Trump, the next couple of years could see him embroiled in all this, you know, attempts to impeach him and so forth, and the economy could slow down.
Well, you know, look, I mean, the economy obviously isn't the only issue that matters. All sorts of things matter.
Sure.
Fighting terrorism, building our national defense, having good schools, having, you know, so many of the social drug problems we have in this country, obviously those are national debt. So there's a lot of issues that matter to the American people, no question about it. But, you know, one of the points I used to make to Donald Trump all the time, and, you know, in my book, Trumponomics, we talk a lot about this, that, you know, when you have faster growth, Jerry, when the economy is doing better, people feel secure financially with their jobs, they can, you know, then people can deal with some of these other problems, you know. So the debt is easier to deal with. You get less family breakup. You get more money for schools and for teachers. So you need more economic growth. That doesn't mean it solves all the problems, but it makes a lot of these problems easier to solve. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting because I worked on the campaign, as you know, and throughout 2015 and 16 and 2014 and 2013 and 2012, the number one issue, every poll showed, the number one issue was jobs in the economy, jobs in the economy. People didn't feel good about, you know, the future of our country. Now Americans generally feel very good about at least the economic future. We got a lot of other problems to deal with, but economically we are, as Trump would say, we are the envy of the world today.
It's interesting, too, that some people want to give President Obama the credit for this economic boom because, you know, this all boils down to the policies that he implemented, you know, during his term. And now they're starting to pay off.
Right. So, I mean, that's kind of a silly thing. I mean, by the way, if I were a big, you know, liberal Democrat and worked for Obama, I'd probably say the same thing, because not a lot else you can say. I mean, the economy is growing twice as fast as it was under Obama. We had the weakest economic recovery from a recession since the Great Depression under Obama. So it was a very, very, it was a long recovery, Jerry, but it was just very weak. You know, it was anemic, and we've moved from a recovery, you know, which means we weren't in a recession, to now a full-scale boom where, you know, things could hardly, you know, be better economically, especially anybody who's looking for a job, and anybody with a skill, you can find a job literally in 48 hours. But, you know, the problem with this analysis, that this is just the Obama economy, is that, you know, look, I worked on these policies for Trump. We very deliberately said, let's just reverse everything Obama did. You know, let's reverse the climate change policies, let's reverse the tax increases and cut taxes, let's get rid of the regulations and cut the regulations, let's redo some of these trade deals. I mean, we've systematically, you know, Trumponomics is sort of Obamanomics in reverse, and when you do Trumponomics, you're getting twice as fast growth.
Yeah, so basically the bottom line is the thriving of the economy is by design, specifically.
Well, we always believed principle number one of Trumponomics. Well, principle number one was put America first, right? Put America first. But principle number two, grow the economy. Because when you get the economy prosperous, as it is now, we can then deal with so many other problems. And, you know, for example, Trump is now negotiating. He's just finished this trade deal with Mexico and Canada, which is a great deal. It's I'm very pleased about that. But now, you know, we've got this problem with China. We got to renegotiate with China. They got to start playing by the rules and make major concessions. We're in a bit of a trade war with them. Well, it's, you know, if you have to be in a trade war with a country, you want to do it when your country is strong, you know, and your economy is doing well. So we're negotiating from a position of strength right now with China, and I think he's going to get a victory with the Chinese in Beijing. And when that happens, you think the economy's strong now, wait till that happens.
Wow, that's amazing. But part of Trump's success in all of this is undoing needless, burdensome regulations. And by the way, I understand a lot of those regulations, the real victim of, you know, overt and too much excessive government regulations are the small businesses. The big companies could, you know, can kind of carry the load, but the small businesses got so hurt that some of them might even have gone out of business because of that.
You got it exactly right, my friend. You know, I remember one of our meetings with Trump early during the campaign when we had CEOs of, you know, major companies, but also some of the smaller businesses. And we went around the table, and Trump just asked every businessman and woman there, you know, from banking, from financial services, from energy to manufacturers, you know, to retailers. He said to them, I want to know what your number one problem is. And I thought they would have said taxes because, you know, I'm focused on the tax issue. But it was interesting. A lot of them said, taxes are a big problem. But they said the biggest problem of all is the federal government just coming in and sticking their finger in everything we're doing and blocking our expansion, making it harder to make a profit, you know, because without a profit, you can't have a business, right? And so Trump has really relaxed that that regulatory burden on businesses. And you're right, the small businesses are the ones that benefit the most from that.
All right, we have about half a minute left, or 1 minute, but what is Trump like as a person? The reason I ask, and you got all this, here's a little cottage industry of all these anti-Trump books, you know, Bob Woodward and the like, churning out all these books. You've seen Donald Trump up close and personal more than Bob Woodward has. Your comments?
Look, you know, there is a, you know, the left has characterized Donald Trump as a racist, a misogynist, you know, mentally unfit for office. You know, I think Donald Trump is one of the most charming people I've ever met. He's attentive. His energy, Jerry, is amazing. He can run circles around you and me, and we're older than he. I mean, he's older than we are. Yeah. I've never seen a man with his energy, his stamina. He is a very smart person, and he cares so much about this country. And so I'm kind of proud to have worked for him. And, you know, so far, so good. I don't know if this boom can continue. I don't know how long it will continue. But, you know, we should enjoy this now. It really makes you proud to be an American, to see how our economy is the shining light of all the nations in the world.
Steve Moore, FreedomWorks.org. Thank you so much, Steve, for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye now.